you, Jesus.
Wow, what a great start to the morning. Isn't God good?
Yes.
Give yourselves a pat on the back, because you're great also, because you're made in His likeness and His image. Amen?
I just shared. So, in worship, Victor just said, as we were singing today, he saw the floodgates of heaven opening and angels being sent forth to minister and to bring forth the righteousness, the peace and the love of our Heavenly Father today. And so it's like these portals of heaven opening up and this glory just pouring down on the earth. Come on. Come on. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Victor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. You know, when the Lord starts to move, in fact, let me rephrase that. The Lord never stops moving. He's always on the move, and He's always out to fulfill His plans and His purposes. And that's what I want to speak upon this morning, is the actual wind of the Spirit that brings the change that we require, that we need, that we pursue Him for, that we desire Him for, that we just want to be before the King of Kings. We want to be submitted to the Father in heaven, that His glory is all we seek. It's like that Solomon in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 1. And it says that the actual glory of the Lord descended and fell and just enveloped the temple. And I just thought that's what we need. We need... Sorry, just getting a cup of here. We need that revisitation of the glory and the wind of God that just comes. So during the week, I was actually at this point, and I was reading John 3. John 3, you nearly feel like you know it off by heart because of verse 16. But I was reading through, and I came to John 3 and verse 8. And in there it says, "The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." I don't know about you, but I'm born of the Spirit.
Come on.
I have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I have the fire of God inside of me, and He gave it to me. And I remember the time specifically when it happened, when I'm standing there in prayer, and I've been praying for weeks. Lord, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Lord, come with Your fire. Lord, bring Your Spirit into me. Let me come alive. And all of a sudden, bam, it happened. And I remember shaking and going down on my knees and just completely just overwhelmed, shaking, tremoring, and it was like my whole world was on fire.
Yeah.
My face was pins and needles. My arms were like shaking, and I'm talking violently shaking. And I remember that baptism as clear as I remember looking at any of your faces on here today. So there's great things that God has for His church, great things that He has for us. And you know, the wind is blowing. The wind is coming with change.
Amen.
The wind of the Spirit is about to move. And the message this morning, if you get nothing else from it, just remember that God is saying, get ready, church. Get ready, church. Get ready. Things are shifting. My wind is about to blow upon this nation, and things are going to change.
Amen.
So God is good. When you look at that whole verse in Nahum 1, Nahum, you know that silent B in the Bible, Nahum, and verse chapter 1 and verse 3, and says, "The Lord is slow to anger and great in power."
Amen.
"And the Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished." Hallelujah. That's a good thing to say amen to.
Amen.
And it also says, "In whirlwind and storm is His way." Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in Kansas City, and I know what it's like to be close to one of those tornadoes, because they call it like Tornado Alley. In fact, one day we were going to go out and do storm chasing in cars, and something happened and we didn't get to go. But, I mean, there's something about a whirlwind that's devastating. I mean, a wind is something like... I mean, you can take a handkerchief this morning, and you can hold it up, and it's all right. But when I go... That shifts the atmosphere of that handkerchief. That handkerchief is no longer nice and still, but it gets moved by the wind. And it actually just travels. Now, when the fire of God comes, you ain't got any need for one of these, because you do not want to put the fire of God out. Come on, folks. It's the fire of God that's going to change things. I'm not going to smack my screen, by the way, but I value it too much. But you don't need no fire extinguisher when the presence and the fire of God comes on you, because it is so good, you want and you desire more of it, and when you've been touched by it, you want more. You're not satisfied anymore because you have actually been touched by the presence of your Father, and you know that the Spirit that was deposited in you when you said yes to Him is bubbling, coming alive, and wanting to be more around Him than anything else in your life. So God is good, and this is what we want to look at this morning. When the wind of God blows, what happens to you? Do you accept it? Do you let it blow past and think, wow, that was a nice thing? Or do you actually, you look for it because you've experienced it? The wind of God, the wind of God. So Father, we're calling on you this morning. Lord, right now, let your wind be released. Let the Spirit of the living God just come right now into homes, into lounges, into kitchens. Everyone that's on this call this morning, Lord, just your wind, Father, we call. Holy Spirit, come. Increase your presence right now. Let the winds of the Spirit come to bring change, to shift atmospheres, to break things off our lives, and to set us free in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when you look at that John 3:8, it says, where the wind blows, it where it wishes. Now, to me, that speaks of freedom. The wind's not constrained. So there's a freedom when the wind of God is upon you, that you're not constrained. You're not restricted. You have the freedom that the Father gives you. Because Jesus said, I only do what I hear the Father telling me to do. Now, we've got Holy Spirit inside of us. Ha, ha, ha. He's like, he releases the river of God out through us. And we get to walk and we get to do exploits for Jesus and for God. So we got to be tuned in to what the Father is saying. We got to be tuned in to the connection. We need to be plugged in the socket power to the Father's throne room. We need to be there. If you're not there and you're not feeling it, then you need to get reconnected with your God. Because He is in you. And He wants to be around you and in you and through you, operating like He desires to do. So we need to get excited, church, that we are an army on the move, that the wind of God has come, that it's saying, no more the same, no more going back the same around the same mountain. No, we're going to go forward. We are going to accomplish that which the Father has decided and has had in plans since the very beginning, even before we were born. He has been relaying to us through His word. Through this, He's been letting us know what's coming. What's coming, what's coming, what's coming. And you know what? The billion soul harvest is on our doorsteps. It has already started. I'm hearing stories of people that have been out on the streets with this Black Lives Matters marches in London and have been winning people to Jesus Christ in the midst of what seems a violent storm. But yet the Lord God is saying, not on my watch. I'm coming to bring the peace. I'm coming to quell the storms. And I'm coming to show you the righteous way so that things get sorted and put right, because He is a righteous judge. And so God says this morning that the winds bring freedom, but the actual you hear the sound of it. So there is a sound that gets released by the Spirit of God. What is it that scripture says about they heard the sound of horses on the mulberry trees, and that was their signal to attack. God is into sounds. In 2018, the bells were ringing all over the UK. It was a declarative sound released over the nation of UK. It was a commemoration of World War I. But God says it was much more than that. It was a coming and a revisitation, a sound in the land that was saying, I am coming, and I am coming like you have never seen before, and I am going to wipe through this nation, and I am going to get rid of all that's not of me, and my glory is going to saturate the land that's before us. And said, we don't know where it comes from. And that's the beauty of it. It comes like a surprise to us. A wind could sometimes be a surprise to us that we're not expecting it, but it actually comes and it just hits us. And so is everyone. So we don't know where it's going, because it's always changing and shifting and going on to another assignment from the Spirit of the living God. And they said that we are who are born of the Spirit. He moves us, He instructs us, and He leads us. That's the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit. The wind of the Spirit is in us and on us to ignite us, to release us, to challenge us to go do something that you never thought you would ever have the guts to go do. And yet God is in the midst of stirring this all up in our lives in this day. And I want us to take a look at Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. This is quite an amazing story, but this is how God works. And, you know, we're saying, yeah, this is the book of Acts. Yeah, we know the things that God did back then. But what I'm saying by this message today, I'm declaring that God is on the move. That God is not satisfied with sitting still. He has got an intended purpose, and it is that his glory would cover the world as the seas cover it. And so he is on the move. Aslan is on the move.
Amen.
So in chapter 10 and verse 1, now there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called an Italian cohort. He was a Roman centurion. Now listen to this. A devout man and one who feared God with all of his household, and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. This was a man who knew God in his own way, was fearful and reverent of him, but he knew the power of prayer. And church, we need to get back into the role of knowing the power of prayer today, because it is part of us. It was a gift given to us, and it's been a blessing to us, and we need to use it more. We need to rise up and do warfare through the blood of Jesus Christ, and see the things that are against us as the church come to nothing. Because the world and darkness is starting to rise, and the Bible prophesies that. But you know what? When it gets the darkest, that is when the light will shine the brightest. Come on, I remember that in James Gall releasing that prophetic word back in 2008, back at the Lakeland Revival, when he said, he's speaking about the UK, he says, when the darkness gets the darkest, it's when the light will shine the brightest.
Yeah.
And he was declaring and prophesying what he had heard from God, that the UK was going to enter into a 3 month where the UK would go on fire. It would be like a blaze for 3 months. And I ain't heard about it, I ain't read about it, and I ain't seen it. So I'm still believing it's coming.
Yeah.
And God has a visitation for the UK where it's going to surprise us all. It's going to be a wind that just comes in an instant, like a whirlwind, because God says he is in the whirlwind and the storm. So when it comes, get ready, because it's going to catch some of us unawares, and other of us has actually been waiting for it, sensing it, and calling it in.
Yeah.
Prayer calls in the move of God. Prayer causes his eyes and his focus to come and gaze on this nation.
Amen.
And so we need to call our God to come and move in the UK and come like a mighty rushing wind right through this nation like we've never seen before. And it says that Cornelius was praying, and about the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had first just come in and said to him, Cornelius. So the angel of the Lord comes and names him by name. This Roman who doesn't really know his God yet, but yet God hears his prayers, sends an answer to him in the form of an angel who actually knows his name, calls him out, gets his attention, and gets him ready for what's about to come. And so fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God." See, God takes note of your actions. "Now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man there named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea." Wow, what a word of knowledge. I mean, you couldn't be much more distinct and direct than that. Telling him his name, where he's staying at, and it is by the sea. This guy gets all the information he needs to go and find Peter. And so what actually happens here is, in the meantime, so Cornelius has actually been praying. He's been asking God. God has come and began to put meat on his bones and start the movement. But at the same time, God has also been preparing Peter. Now, Peter's in Joppa. And so Peter has this trance. It says that he goes into a trance during his time of prayer the day after Cornelius had prayed. Now, Cornelius prayed at the ninth hour, it says, and Peter prayed at the sixth hour. So sixth hour in Jewish would have been around 12 o'clock midday, but the ninth hour would have been around 3 p.m. And these would have been common times for the Jews of would have been in prayer sessions before their God. But Peter has this whole vision of where he sees this sheet just let down from heaven with these hoofed animals in it, and God has this conversation with him. Don't call anything unclean that I'm saying is clean. And so out of that, he has this revelation that God's up to something. And the next thing, he has these guys turn up, the two men, calling him to come to Caesarea, to come to Cornelius's house. And he is already quickened in his spirit because the Lord is beginning to blow upon him and causing a shift to happen in him, and he is ready for the move. He is excited about it. He knows that something's on the move, and so he is prepared in his spirit, ready to go when Jesus says go. And so Peter actually goes to Cornelius's house, and great things happen. I mean, there was just an explosion because Cornelius brought his family, his friends and relations to the house, and God changed them, changed that whole thing around their lives, and God spoke right into them in that time. So prayer is a key and vital part. Now, I'm going to go through eight passages of scripture here that refer what I want to bring across today, the wind of the Spirit.
Not the whole passage.
Not the whole passages, no, but just certain scriptures. I've got eight of them here, and I'm sure that eight is not exhaustive. There's many, many more, but these are the ones I felt led to bring this morning to you and to share with you. So I'm going to go right back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. And it says, "The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." The Holy Spirit was there right back in Genesis 1 at the start of creation. He was hovering, waiting for the word to be spoken, waiting for the word of the Lord to be released so he could go and carry out the mission plan of God. So right back there in Genesis 1, God says that the Holy Spirit was hovering over his creation, ready to roll. Genesis 2 verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life, and man became living." That very point where God breathed right into the nostrils of man and caused life to come into his very bones. Acts 2 verse 2, we're all familiar with this scripture. "And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind." Come on. Would you not love to have been in that upper room that day? I mean, you imagine being there for the length of time they were there, waiting, 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 and probably having discussions, eating, and just sharing together. But they did not expect the totality or the entirety of how God was going to spring this upon them that changed the then known world forever. And so thousands came to the Lord in that one day. And so in John 3, verse 8, we've been looking at that this morning about the wind, and Ezekiel 37 and verse 9. "Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, and they will come to life." This is the season that God is saying that which the world has thought was dead, the church is finished, the church is done, the church is a non-entity, a non-starter. Watch out, folks, because God is revisiting his church. Yes. And the winds of God will come. They will come with violence. Yes. They will come with a force that will carry the church into this next season where we will accomplish much and see what it is that God is doing. We are going to be the ones that know the times and the seasons and what God is up to. We're going to be like the sons of Issachar, yes, who understood and knew the seasons and the time. Mm-hmm. Our God is on the move. Our God is on the move. Yeah. I am declaring it today. Our God is on the move. Amen. This land will never be the same again. God is on the move. I can't say that enough. God is on the move. And John 20, verse 22, "And he had said, and when he has said this," this is Jesus, "he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit." He blew on them. He breathed on them. Wind hit them. And as a result, it ignited the filling of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit just came and hit them just at that very time. Wow. Come on, Jesus. We need you to blow again on the church. Holy Spirit, come do what you do best. You are the teacher. You are the comforter. Come and pour out your Spirit again. Move across this nation. Move over this land. Let us never be the same again in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And then 2 Kings and 44, verse 31. And this is the story of Gehazi. Passed on before them and laid the staff on the lad's face. But there was no sound or response. So he returned to me to meet him and told him that he was not awakened. And when Elisha came into the house, behold, the lad was dead and laid on his bed. So he entered and shut the door behind them both and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child, put his mouth to his mouth, and his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself on him, and the flesh of the child became warm. And then he returned and walked in the house, once back and forth, and went up and stretched himself on him. And the lad sneezed 7 times, and the lad opened his eyes. 7, the perfect number. 7 is the number of God's Spirit coming and bringing life back into this child. And the child, breath came out of him in the forms of sneeze, right there at that very time, as life came back in. And that dead child came back to life again. How many want to see the dead raised? I want to see the dead raised. And I declare over you today that you will see the dead raised, that you will be in rooms where it will happen. And the Spirit of the Lord God Almighty will bring back to life that which was tried to be taken out before its time, in Jesus' name.
I think, too, sometimes when we want to see things happen, we're too gentle. You know, this man went and he lay on top of this boy. He put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands. He lay on him and he did it twice. And I think sometimes we're so worried about what people are going to think about us that we don't actually listen to how God wants us to do things so that we would see a miracle.
Stop doing it. Get rid of it.
And I feel like this is a season where God is bringing out a fresh boldness in his people to actually be bold in their exploits.
Yeah.
So that we would see the things of the Lord happen again. Jesus was bold, you know, mud in the eyes. He spat on his hand and took the man's tongue. You know, he was radical. He did incredibly different things that gained attention.
Yeah.
Did he need to spit in his hand and touch the tongue? No, he just needed to speak, but he did it as a demonstration of boldness and a demonstration of power. And so this is a season where we want to see the dead raised. We need to be in that relationship with Jesus, that we hear him and we see what he's doing. And we're obedient without fear of looking foolish and our reputation. He made himself of no reputation so
yeah.
that we could be where we are today. So let's choose to make ourselves of no reputation so we get to see these things, these power signs and wonders.
Yeah. If you're on fire, then you're not worried about who's watching you because you will know that you're on fire for God and God's burning you up so others will see.
Yeah.
It will be a sign and a wonder. And the Lord says that greater works we will do.
Yeah.
But in these next days, there's going to be this whole enforcement and a whole raising up again to notification to the world that God is alive. How? Because the church, the body of Christ, the believers, the church is not dead.
Yeah.
Otherwise, God wouldn't have been speaking about it in Revelation at the very start. He wouldn't have been calling, and the angel spoke to the church in. You know, so the church is not a dead entity.
No.
The church is God's design, and folks, stop bickering. Stop poking holes at the bride of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Leave it alone. Allow God to deal with what he needs to deal with, and do not get in his way when he moves. And now that's a word for a lot of people, but I'm just thinking that I want to take you to Acts chapter 8. Now, you talk about weird things happen, and so you're not sure. We got to be ready, because what's weird sometimes to us is normal to God, because he operates on a spirit level that some of us haven't yet even seen, encountered, but we're about to, in this next season, be taken to levels and greater heights with the King of Kings, with the Spirit of the Living God. And we are going to see things, and because we see things, we'll get to impart things, and we're going to see lives changed because of the power that is in us for greater works. Amen? So we're going to go with this. I'm going with it, and I'm declaring over you today that you need to get a hold of your God and go with God. Forget everything in life. Forget everything else. If your focus is not totally on Him, then life will just become a bore and a drudge for you. But when you're alive to your Father, everything you touch is alive. Everything you see and you touch and impact becomes alive, because the river of the living God is in you to anoint and to change atmospheres and to blow on the things of other people's lives, so that you get to blow the wind of the Spirit of God and bring change, breaking off, bringing freedom to people that don't even know what it really is to be free. And because of the power of God in us, onto salvation, those that come into relationship with Jesus will be coming because they will see the signs, wonders, and miracles carried out by the Bride of Christ, His church, worldwide. But we want to see it here in the UK. Amen? So Acts chapter 8, we're going to look at this whole story of the eunuch who was like a wealthy, wealthy guy. He held a high-ranking position of looking after the finances of this kingdom. And so in verse 25, it says, "So they solemnly testified and spoken of the word of the Lord. They started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, 'Get up, go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he got up and went." He was obedient. He went when the Spirit of the Lord prompted him. "And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship." Now, to me, that sounds like a fearful job. If you're in charge of all her finances and all her money, and you're on the road, you know, number one, I'm thinking, I'd be looking at a guy like that. He'd be really well-dressed, he'd be smart, and he'd be official-looking. And you'd be thinking, I'm not worthy to even stop. This guy wouldn't have a minute for me. You know, he wouldn't want to stop his chariot for me. And yet, the Lord had instructed a plan. So we got to watch, folks, because God is going to put us in front of leaders of nations, leaders who carry authority and know how to handle wealth and protect it and watch over it. Watch what God does in the next season when you begin to speak into nations, not just individuals, or individuals that have impact in a nation. Amen. And so this whole story goes on about Philip came. They had this chat. They were discussing scriptures. And they were just, going through that. And then the Ethiopian eunuch says, here's a brook here, or a river. How about I get baptized? And so they do that. They go in, and Peter baptizes him in the water, and they come out. Oh, no, sorry, Philip. Same letter. Mm-hmm. And Philip baptizes him, completed the task. And then I think it's here, verse... verse 39, "And when they had come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no longer." Now, you've just had an encounter with a believer, and the believer has talked to you, and you've ended up getting baptized in the water, and so you're having this amazing time, and then all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord takes Philip right out of the scenario. I mean, he just didn't up and walk away. No, the Spirit of the Lord caught him up and transported him to his next destination.
Come on.
Yeah. So God is in the purposes of this day and age, shifting things and changing things, that's going to cause us to be translated and go into nations and speak into nations the word of the Lord, see great miracles, signs and wonders that will impact regions in that nation, and many will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is the plan of the Lord. This is not me talking out of my head. This is what I see in Scripture, and God's Spirit wants to bless it because it's in alignment with the Word of God. So we got to be careful. We got to be watchful that in this season that we don't miss things in our lives that the Father is offering to us, because the Spirit of the Lord God is in us.
Yes.
So we get to give away. So the Lord will want to give you stuff so that you can give away. If the Lord is giving you stuff, then you need to know that your God has gone before you, that He has planned this, that it's in His plans. So you can walk in an authority knowing that your God has gone before you, and this will work, that you will accomplish much for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Tim, this is amazing, guys. This is the fire of God just getting released. It's actually glory, glory, glory. And Father, we just call right now, Father, that your fire would fall, that your glory would come, that we as your body would never be the same again. Lord, we declare signs, wonders, and miracles over us, that this would be a day to put in the diary, that things shifted, things changed, that the wind of the Spirit of God moved upon us, and that we become like the church in Acts 2 in the upper room, that we come out emboldened, knowing our purpose, knowing who we are in our God, and doing what you want us to do, listening to you, Holy Spirit, and obeying and seeing what happens when we obey the King and we bring glory to Him.
Amen.
So we bless this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So this whole encounter, I just had picked that story of Cornelius and the Ethiopian eunuch this morning just to make us aware of how God operates around our lives sometimes. We need to be watchful, we need to be waiting, because God is on the move. Now, wind is an air motion, traveling between areas of different pressure. Now, this is the Met Office. I'm reading this from the Met Office. So to understand what makes wind blow, we first need to understand what atmospheric pressure is. Pressure at Earth's surface is a measure of the weight of air pressing down on it. The greater the mass of air above us, the higher the pressure we feel, and vice versa. We get to bring pressure because we carry the wind of the Spirit on us, and we get to adjust, we get to take care of problems. When the pressure of life is and winds are coming down on people, we get to go up, lay hands on them, anoint them, and call it to stop, because we carry the power and authority of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit inside of us, church. We get to do what the Father has been expecting us to rise into. But something has happened. Something has shifted. We are in the season of the new. The old has gone. The new season has come. The wineskins have changed. The wine is pouring out, and it's fresh and it's good, because Jesus said He keeps the best for the last. Amen? And so we are in the last. And so we're going to see some of the good stuff coming forward in this next season. It's going to be glorious. I want to see it. I want you to see it, and we all want to be part of it, because we all want the stories of Jesus to share and to tell others, which will excite their hearts, stir up their faith, and call them to arise in their God and to see for themselves what lies before them, and that the Spirit of the living God that was upon Jesus, that rose Jesus from the dead, is in us, and is in us with great power, great authority, great dynamite power, and it's in us for a reason to be used in Jesus' name. Amen?
Yes.
So God's on the move. And so how is the wind like the Holy Spirit? Wind is good to word to describe the power of the Holy Spirit. Change happens when winds blow. When the Holy Spirit moves, He brings change like wind.
Mm-hmm.
Energy is produced by wind. And when the Holy Spirit moves in this manner, He supplies supernatural energy. He empowers us to do what we could not naturally do or even think about doing on our own. So we want that wind of the Spirit to be upon us, that we get to do what God and the Holy Spirit wants us to do.
Amen.
And even if it seems weird and strange, if the Lord prompts, then we got to be a yes in our heart, a yes to go, a yes. I don't know what this is going to look like when I get there, but Father, I'm taking what I'm sensing in my spirit, what I'm hearing in my ears, what I'm feeling in my heart, and I'm just going to go with that feeling and that sense, and I'm going to step out, and I'm going to go and be obedient and allow you to do the rest, because
yes,
you have gone before me, and your stirring is for a reason, and I'm going to learn what it is to respond respond to the stirrings of the Spirit of the living God that has been gifted to me by God. It is a gift, folks. The Holy Spirit is a gift to us. It is the fire of God inside us, and to help us do the works of the kingdom and to bring the kingdom into a greater authority and a greater power in this next season. So I've got a few points here as we finish. Number one, run like the wind with the Spirit. Go for it, folks. I'm encouraging you. Do not hold back. Yes. When you get a prompt from Holy Spirit, run with it. Run like the wind. Let him fill your sails and take you through to reach the destination that he is stirring up your spirit in you to go and accomplish for him. Amen? You've Amen. Got it, folks. It's already been given to us. It's a gift to us. But we need to start using it because a muscle doesn't grow unless you actually use it. By using it, you take it into a deeper level and you strengthen it. Mm-hmm. So we want to not miss the first mark, but we want to go with the every mark upon us that the Holy Spirit brings us to actually achieve for him. Amen? See your heads nodding there? Yes, amen. That's amen. A good word, Andy. Thank you. Amen. Bless you guys. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Number two, our breath can disturb the very air around us. We're here to change the atmosphere in our village, in our town, and in our nation. Come on, folks. We are a gifted generation. There has never been as many of us who believe in Jesus Christ today as there ever has been in all generations. We are a force that God has placed on the world. We are here to be reckoned with, and we are here to do triumphant exploits for our King. So our breath can disturb the very atmosphere around us. So use what has been gifted to us, folks, and let's do some exploits. And number three, God breathed into man. Life was birthed. We carry you inside God. We carry you. And thank you, Jesus, that you gift us this gift of the Holy Spirit. We give you praise for it. We give you glory, and we honor you, Lord, for all the goodness that you've poured out upon us. Now teach us your ways, Lord, and teach us how to walk before you in Jesus' name. Number four, Jesus breathed on them and a gift was released. I keep saying this is a gift. You hold your hands out and you allow Father to place the gift to pour it on. And if it's been a long time since you received that gift, then get your hands out today and let's see it restored, revisited, because it's not just one baptism. God comes and he fills, and he fills us again. Amen. Number five, the Spirit hovered over the earth with intent, waiting for the spoken word to be released. The word of the Lord changes things. The word of the Lord is in us because of the Spirit of the Lord that dwells inside of us. So when we speak, our words have effect. Our words carry power. And so we in tune with the Holy Spirit, we can see amazing things happening. Like we said earlier, dead people can come back to life. Illnesses that doctors cannot and surgeons cannot understand or figure out or have never seen before, we can go lay hands on those type of people and they will get well.
Amen.
Because it's not us, it's the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that same power that we carry that has been given to us as a gift. And number six, the Spirit of God blows where it wishes to accomplish what has been instructed. Come on, folks, this is the word of the Lord. This is our season. This is our time as church to arise, to step up, and to raise the bar. I mean, if you want to raise a bar, go look for someone that's just died. Go pray for them. Go and try and get into a morgue. Go and try and use the gifts that's in you. Don't hold back. You know, the days of this is long gone. You don't need to put out what God has already gifted you. You want to get rid of the stuff that puts out. Because I want the fire of God and I don't want anything putting it out. It's not in me. I don't want it. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to even see it on my shelf. But God has given us a great gift and expects us to take the gift to honor our Father by using it. So when Holy Spirit speaks to us, let's go with the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
I'm on fire. I just want to be seeing you guys on fire. And so this morning, just as we finish, I'm going to say again, I started with this at the very start. I'm telling you again, watch out. Get ready, get ready, get ready. God is on the move. And we as his tribe, as his warriors, his warrior bride, we're going to love, change this world with love, but we're going to actually change it by operating in the gifts that he has bestowed on us, he has given us to use, and that is to bring about the signs, wonders, and miracles that the Spirit of the Lord tells us about in the Word of God. We are here. He is there. But the Bible also says that we are seated with him in heavenly places. So we get the dual role of being on earth as operatives for the king, but also being in the throne room with our king. So we can be there to worship him, to give him thanks and give him praise, and to relay back to him the testimonies of what we see happening around us. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is on the move. God is on the move. Holy Spirit is itching and rumbling inside us to get going. And so we want to be saying this morning, Lord, just give us more. Teach us your ways. Holy Spirit, just arise within us. Just be bubbling up. And if we're stuck in a barrel full of water, then change us into wine, Lord. So we are equipped and ready to accomplish what you want us to do. So I want us to it's not right that we speak about things like this morning and we don't put it into practice. We don't call for it. So I want you right now, where you are in your lines, I want you to put your hands out right now in front of you. There is no barrier of Holy Spirit over internet. Jesus is coming back on the cloud.
Amen.
You know, so he owns and rules everything. This the cloud that we've got is no accident. The cloud that he has given and is coming on is no accident. So God knows the times and the seasons. He's already prepared, and he's been waiting for us, his children, his warrior bride, to arise. So have you got your hands out to receive a gift? And in your heart, if you feel dry and you feel that you haven't felt Holy Spirit for a long time, well then, this is the time. God is not impartial. And so gifts. He gives good gifts. He is a good father. And so right now, Holy Spirit, Father, we just say come right now in Jesus' name. Mm. Come fill.
Jesus.
Fill our cups, Lord. Let our cups overflow again. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Holy Spirit, we want you.
Jesus.
We desire you.
Yes, God.
We desire the greater works, O
Lord.
And we want to say, Lord, today that we are worthy, that you are worthy, and we're worthy because of you in us.
Worthy are you, Lord.
So let all the past be broken off. Mm. Every attachment of the enemy, every snare of the fowler, just be broken right now in Jesus' name, and fresh fire fall upon you right now.
Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Fire, fire, fire.
Jesus.
Wind of the Spirit. Blow on you this morning. That you would be sensitive to the winds of the Spirit, the winds of the Father, even around you right now in your own home, where you are right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We honor you this morning. This is all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, and your ways, Lord. We bless you this morning. Thank you, Father, for your blood. Thank you, Father, for your death, your resurrection, and the promise of eternal life, Lord, that you've given.
Yeah, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, that you allowed us to be in a place to say yes. And we're asking you, Lord, release Holy Spirit. Release the fire of God all across our nation in these next weeks and months, Lord, that we see salvations flowing like a river, Lord, and that we see people encountering, Lord, because there's nothing as great, Lord, as seeing someone in a place of surrender and saying yes to you, Father. So we're asking you, Lord, let us see that. Let us be the part of it that you want us to be. And so we're asking you, Lord, for more of you to become more like you so we can give away what you have given us to give away.
Jesus.
And we get to be the people, Lord, that have the signs, wonders, and miracles following us everywhere we go, everywhere we step, that we know that you are there, O Lord, that life is no longer just about living, but it's about looking for you in every step of life, and that we look for you in every breath we take, because it's your breath that you're breathing into us. You're allowing us breath to be alive for such a time as this. So we say, Lord, let your breath increase upon us, and let us, when we've inhaled you, that we get to exhale and we get to touch others around us, Lord. Let our neighbors see the light of God around us, Father, in this next season, like they have never noticed before. May they come and talk to us, Lord, about what they're sensing, or that they just feel a need to be drawn to us to talk. Father, we're asking you, Lord, for the increase of the Holy Spirit, that release of the fire of God, so we are not the same, never to be the same again, and that we're empowered to actually go and do exploits for you, O Lord. So, Father, we honor you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords today. And we say, Lord, power, release it in your church. Release it today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
It's like that song that Missy Edwards wrote. You know, people get ready. Jesus is coming. People get ready. Jesus is coming.
Yes, Lord.
He's not a baby in a manger anymore. He's not a broken man on a cross.
Yeah,
he didn't stay in the grave. And he's not staying in heaven forever. He's not a baby in a manger anymore.
He's coming back.
He's not a broken man on a cross. He didn't stay in the grave. And he's not staying in heaven forever. People get ready.
Yeah, get ready. Get
Jesus
ready.
Is coming.
Yeah.
People Jesus. Get ready. Jesus is coming.
Yes, Lord. Release eyes to see, Lord, and ears to hear. Father, we get to be your desired bride in this next season. Not weak, hiding in the corner, thinking, oh, Jesus is going to come someday and get me out of here. This is so bad. No, but we become the valiant, the mighty, the blood-washed bride of Jesus Christ, who is full of power, full of authority, and knows how to walk before their God. So we call that in, and we bless you guys that as we finish here, that this week would become a week of encounters for you, that it would not be the same as old last week, but it would actually be better. There would be an increase come upon you this week, that you get to walk before your God and begin to see him moving on you for greater power, greater signs, miracles, and wonders. Amen. Are you excited about this? Because I am. I want to see it. I want to be there. I'm not satisfied with the old. I want the new. And the new means
today
that we get to walk in the ways of our God, and we get to bring people to him.
Some people say, I've never heard the Spirit of God. You know, in the church today, so many people say, well, I don't hear the Spirit of God. If you've ever had a prophetic word, you've heard the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And I think maybe a good activation this week for some people would be to dig out some of your prophetic words, the words that have been spoken over your life, because they were spoken from the Spirit to your spirit.
Yes.
So dig them out. Get into them. Read them. Meditate on them. Write out the things that God has spoken over you. Write them out. These are the things, Lord, you have said that you're calling me to. And these are the things that you're asking me to put in place so that this can happen. So, Lord, I'm calling it in. Help me to organize my life around your word to me and not your word around my life.
Yes.
Let my life be wrapped around your word to me, not your word around my life. So that would be a really good activation this week, to get out a prophetic word and say, okay, God, I'm going to begin to activate this. Because he doesn't give you a word now to put away on a shelf. When God speaks, he speaks into today. He speaks into today. So today, it's a good time to get those words that he spoke out yesterday and begin to bring them back into today. Because he says, you know, today is a new day. And begin to activate those words. Begin to take what the Spirit of God spoke over you, to your spirit, to your life, to your future, your destiny, your identity, your calling. And begin to activate that. Begin to step out in that. And if there's conditions attached to that, then fulfill those conditions. Do what he wants you to do to be the person he wants you to be so that you can see the harvest come in and you can have a life that is so satisfied in God that you'll be have so much to tell other people about. You'll have the testimony of Jesus on your lips.
Yes.
So activate it today. The Spirit of God, his words over you, through you, in you, come into life so that it's like when God breathed over the waters, the Spirit was waiting for that prophetic word. But as soon as he got it, he was activated. He was like, woohoo, come on. When we get a prophetic word from the Lord, we should be like, woo, come on. It's time. It's time. I've been waiting for this confirmation. Yeah. And let's get up and let's run with these things that the Spirit of God has spoken over us. Let's not just put them on the shelf any longer. Let's like run with these things that God has spoken and see his kingdom fulfilled. If he has made promises to you, he who is faithful has promised he will fulfill his word to you.
Yeah.
He will fulfill his word to you. He is no man's debtor. He will fulfill all he has spoken over your life today. And if you need to hear that word of the Lord, then hold on to the promises of God for you. Beseech him for them. Remind him of them. Activate those words in your life and see your situation transform in Jesus' name.
If you want to live, well then get a hold of life in the Father and let that abundant life that he promises us, let it flow through us.
Yes.
You got to open, take the cap off and allow him to pour in.
Yes.
And that means time with him to allow the Father to pour into us. Because he said that our cups would overflow. Mm-hmm. That means he's got something good to give us. So sometimes we've got a blockage up here and we need to get it even unlocked here, that our heart and our head are totally in tune with the Father, so we get to live out as the children of the King, servants of the Lord, but empowered by his power, and that's so exciting that you want it. And I'm telling you today, if you've tasted it in the past, you're not satisfied anymore, because you want to get back to that place where you see, and not only see, but in it, moving in it, and actually sensing it and touching it, because everything comes alive when God moves on you with life. Amen.
Andrea and Gilles in France, I know you're watching, and I actually, as I looked down and saw your name on the share, I saw an angel in your garden behind you. Have like an arch kind of thing that you have flowers and stuff around, and I saw an angel of the Lord waiting for you in the garden. And I believe that the Lord is saying to you today that as you go out into that garden that you have created, he is coming to enter the garden of your heart in a new way with the fire of God. And I believe that in your garden where the beauty is and the creation is, God is going to create something even new inside of both of you. Both of you, I see this like this fresh fire that's going to come to you. I see this like a whirlwind, like a tornado of the Lord that's going to catch you in the spirit. So there's an angel waiting for you guys in your garden. Andrea and Gilles in France, there's an angel waiting for you in your garden, waiting to encounter you. And Winston Kelly, the door is closed behind you and another door is opening in front of you. And the Lord says to you today that you need to put on your boots and you need to step in through that doorway and not be scared of what people are going to say and not be scared of whether you're going to be successful or fail. Do not base your future on the failures of your past.
Yes,
the Lord says to you today, Winston, this is a new day.
Yeah.
This is a fresh day. And I am putting before you an open door that no man can shut. But I need you to put on your boots and I need you to step through that doorway. Pick up your staff and follow me, says the Lord. For this is a new day for you, brother. A new day, a new doorway, a new journey. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, good
in
word.
Jesus' name. In
yeah,
Jesus'
so,
name.
So,
Christine Dingley, I thank you for coming on the share this morning. I hope you've been blessed this morning. Just with your name, Dingley, ding, 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 dong, ding, dong. And I just hear God saying there's new bells that are going to ring over your life, that you've been going through a real, almost like a season where your ears have been closed. Like, not like God isn't speaking, but there's been like like a muffling, you know, when you put your head on the pillow and you can't hear properly. And I feel like this is a season where God is saying, fresh bells are going to ring over you. You're going to hear God in a whole new way. And you've been asking him, you've been asking for the prophetic voice of God to increase in you. And I see this as a fresh flowing, like the picture that Victor had this morning about the oil coming to flow. This oil of glory coming to flow. I really believe, Christine, that this is a fresh day for you, that what has been a dry season for you of this past while, where you find it a bit difficult and saying, like, well, I don't know if I'm even hearing God anymore. I believe this is a fresh day for you, Christine, where God is filling you to overflowing, where he is speaking again into your life, and you're going to hear him in a whole fresh way that's going to excite your soul. And that's like... I just see you like dancing like a little girl around the room, just with the joy and excitement of the freshness of the Spirit of the Lord, just this fresh download of God, fresh download of glory upon your life right now.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, we declare and decree that today.
And Victor, just type something up there in the messages. There's no sell-by date with the Holy Spirit or out of date with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so true. So this morning as we close, I want to read to you a word of the Lord, a prophetic word over you from the word, which is living.
Mm-hmm.
You got one?
Yeah. Before he does that, Dan the man, your new garden things like called Victory Gardens. Yeah. And I just feel that this is a new season for you of victorious victory. And I feel like all the battles that you've gone through in the past, the Lord in this season is opening new doorways for you. I really believe that you're going to have access through what you do to be able to share Jesus with people in a whole new way. I believe that the Spirit of the Lord is just going to flow through you like his countenance is going to be raised upon you. People, you're shifting the atmospheres just by being in the garden. Just by being in the garden, as you spend time in the garden with the Lord, so whenever you go into other people's gardens, it's like you're bringing him in there and you're going to leave a deposit. It's like your work, when your work is completed and it looks really good, there's going to be more than that left. There's going to be a deposit of the Lord left there, a deposit of the peace of God left there, a deposit of the reality of God left there. It's almost like the garden becomes an invitation for the people of that home to step into something really beautiful. So we just decree over you today that you are a releaser of doorways in the gardens for people to step into the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit in their very garden, in their very home. We decree over you that as you leave that garden and close that door, that God will open doors of dreams and visions for those that are in those homes.
Jesus.
We declare over you today, I just see like this breastplate upon you of righteousness. And we just decree that as you leave that doorway of their garden, that this righteous deposit will be left in the soil of their garden that will permeate like sustainability. It will permeate into their lives and draw them onto the Lord in Jesus' name.
Yeah. So I'm going to prophesy this scripture over you now as we close. And it's Jeremiah 33, verse 3.
Come on.
Call to me,
and
I will answer you,
and
I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know.
Amen.
So I declare that over you guys today. I prophesy over you today that this would be your portion, that you would see things and you would know things that you don't yet know, and that they would be revealed to you in new and fresh ways that just captivate you, captivate your heart, and set you on fire for the Father. Amen?
Yeah.
So love you guys. We're just going to switch off Facebook Live here and come back into normal. So it's great to have you with us this morning. Be blessed. If you want to get more in touch with us, then www.fathershouse.co.uk. There's other messages available on there. So, and you can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well, Freedom Fire Ministries on YouTube. Bless you guys. Have an amazing week.
Caring.